It's been a long time since we talked to our friend, pastor, author, blogger, Remy Diedrich, the pastor of Cedarbrook Church in Menominee. He's coming out with a new book. He's taken a six-week trip to Chile, and he's the speaker next Thursday at Leading with Power with a very interesting title for a talk called Five Things That Tick You Off, helping guys understand what he calls secondary losses. So we've got a lot to cover with Remy. He's our guest this full hour on Front Page on WWIB and WIB.com, and good to have him back. Hey, Remy, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Good to talk to you again, Mark.
All right, well. You too. All right, let me start with the sabbatical. So how did you end up deciding on – was that your first sabbatical in your time at Cedarbrook, and how did you end up deciding on going to Chile?
Yeah, it was a little random. Yes, it was my first sabbatical, and it was half of one. My church gave me a three-month one, but I felt that that would be a little bit of a shock to everyone's system if I left for 3 months, so I just took half of it. It was kind of random. I wanted to get away and disconnect as much as possible. So actually that was one of the leaders on our teams. I was saying, hey, you know, you're supporting me while I'm gone, so where do you want me to go? And one person said, I think you should go as far as you possibly can get from Menominee, Wisconsin. And for whatever reason, that registered with me, and I called our – we've got a mission board as a part of our denomination, and I said, hey, what's really far away where you could use me? You know, because I didn't want to just sit on a beach for 6 weeks. I wanted to be used. So they said, if you could go to Chile, that would be awesome. We've got some churches down there that are kind of isolated, and they'd love to hang out and talk to you. So that's what I did.
You know, it's good. Actually, we get around with Teamwork Africa, and we were at a church in the last few months, and I think – I don't know if the pastor had a sabbatical or was trying to work through. And that's really tough. And I think even your newest book, Out of Exile, if I understand right – has pastors in mind, and we're going to talk about that amongst other things this hour. But speak to maybe the difficulty for pastors. I mean, the bulk of our listeners have not been a pastor, probably never will be, but it's hard because I understand with this guy, I mean, it's like this parishioner was maybe a member of the board, and he was saying, you know, he's not even getting out of town. And so I think that was really helpful, I bet, to be someplace where people didn't know you.
Yeah, it is. It did help me to disconnect. One thing that I learned a lot about stress, probably once I came back, more so just as I was able to reflect on it all. And it's good to point it out because people don't realize what the role of a pastor is. And I'm sure it's different for every pastor based on the nature of the church and the size of the church. I know for me, especially since I started the church with a few group of people. So from the very early days, I was the guy. I was, you know, when there's only 20 people, everyone's looking to you to make it happen. And so over the years, you just kind of develop that. You're always at the center of the hub, and you can't go anywhere without people looking to you to kind of answer the question and set course and set vision and stuff like that. So any room I walk into, I'm kind of the focal point, and that is very stressful after a while. And through the years, and on hiring staff and so forth, I've been able to delegate and distance myself a little bit. But I think as long as you're the lead pastor, you're always going to bear that weight. And I've been an associate pastor, and now I'm a lead pastor, so I know the difference. When I was an associate pastor, it was a totally different ballgame. You just kind of go to work and you do your job, and when you go home at night, you can kind of leave a lot of the problems at work. But when you're the lead pastor, the buck really stops with you. And I think if you're a business owner, you experience the same thing. I think there's different professions that carry weight more than others. And certainly a pastor of a larger church carries a lot of weight, a weight that you don't even realize you carry until you walk away from it.
And talking to Remy Diedrich, pastor of Cedarbrook Church in Menominee, he's author of a few different books. And check out his blog, readingremy.com, readingremy.com. So that's got to be difficult, though. I mean, because it's one of those things where, as a pastor, you can realize, boy, after a certain number of years, that break would do me and ultimately my congregation well. And yet, it is hard. Was it hard, like leaving it behind and saying, "I'm just gonna just trust other people to run this while I'm away"?
No, it wasn't hard for me because we have not only do I have a really good staff, we have really good leaders, volunteer leaders in the church. So I wasn't worried at all. And they did a great job while I was gone. So that's not hard. You know, it might be hard for some people in the congregation because they get used to a certain flow. They're used to me being the primary communicator on Sunday. So for some people, that's a disappointment. I think overall, I think it's fun for everybody to see that, hey, you know, the big guy left and the ship didn't sink. So I think it's fun. I think it's a good experience. So I'm really glad that I did it.
And ultimately, I guess that God's in charge, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So 6 weeks in Chile, I mean, you indicate you traveled like 2,000 miles. You visited 10 churches. But what else were you doing in terms of trying to get rest and space in your own heart and mind and soul?
I don't know if I got a lot of rest. I didn't get a lot of physical rest because we were on the go. Some people, you know, objected to what I did. They said, you know, you didn't rest very much. You were too busy. But I think for me, I'm kind of a my brain is always active, so I didn't want to just sit on a beach for 6 weeks. I was afraid if I sat on a beach for 6 weeks to rest that I would just think too much about back home. So I wanted to submerge myself into the life down there so I really would forget about back home, and that's what happened. So we, it was the equivalent of traveling from Mexico City to Duluth as far as the distance we traveled. We traveled all the way from the northern part.
That's a lot. That's a lot of miles.
It's like the driest desert in the world is in northern Chile. And then we there's only 10 covenant churches. That's the denomination I'm a part of. There's only 10 covenant churches throughout the country. So we travel, and they're all like 2 hours or 4 hours away from each other. So we got to see pretty much the whole country. We went as far south as Coyhaique, which is down in the Patagonia, which is a mountainous region. So we were in the northern desert. It was up to 80s, and then it was snowing down in Coyhaique during that six-month period.
Now, you're dropping these names, and you're giving these geographical facts. Like, before your trip, did you know anything about Chile?
I knew it was south of the equator. That's about all I knew. I knew it was long and skinny, and the Andes Mountains were bordering it, but that's pretty much all I knew.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I saw some of your Facebook posts. I think another thing I was even blessed to read was tell people about what folks at Cedarbrook did for you. And your wife was with you?
Oh, yes. She was with me the whole time.
All right. And so tell us about what you came home to.
Oh, it was just nice. I mean, you know, you're gone for 6 weeks. You wonder if anyone even knows that you were gone or not. So when I came back, you know, the whole back door was covered with a big welcome sign, and people had put flowers out there. And then when I walked in, I had given someone my key in case anything happened to the house. So they took that key and they got in, and a neighbor friend of mine came in and filled my fridge with some food and stuff like that. So it was really nice to be welcomed home like that.
Okay, yeah, I remember seeing that on Facebook. I thought it was pretty cool. So, beyond that, tell us about what did you come home to in terms of life at Cedarbrook and reacclimating? How did that work for you?
I think you're not just gone 6 weeks. It's the weeks leading up to it where you try to disconnect, and then when you come back into it, I remember the first week back, I thought I have nothing to do. It was a little odd, but that didn't last very long because we came into our fall season and things mm-hmm. picked up rather rapidly. So. Yeah, you know, I guess it is kind of strange how you can come back in and pick up in a sense where you left off. And in some ways, and I've mentioned to my wife, it seems like Chile is, you know, was 5 years ago. It seems so distant. Hmm. When it's a totally different experience, I think it's easy to feel very disconnected very fast. So in a way, that's a little disappointing. But I still have lots of good memories from down there, and I hope to return someday.
Yeah. And in terms of... just briefly, what's going on at Cedarbrook now? Because we're going to talk about a church plant that you're excited about into Eau Claire. But how about at Cedarbrook Church?
Yeah, as we come into the holidays here, I guess we're just gearing up, thinking about reaching more people during the Christmas season. That's always a big time for us to touch more lives during the season. So we're looking forward to that, and we have a new staff member coming on for our children's ministry that we're excited for. It's taken us a year to find the right person, and we found him out in Denver, so he'll be coming in a couple weeks, so we're really excited about that as well.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and in a moment we're going to get Jamie Staples on the line. He's a church planter of a new church that Cedarbrook is birthing in, if I'm using the proper language, in Eau Claire. It's called Renew. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, we're excited. It's not just us. I mentioned the covenant denomination. So there's I think Jamie has four churches that are sponsoring him. Cedarbrook Church is one of them, plus the denomination as a whole, so are financially backing him, so he doesn't die on the first day when 20 people show up. But yeah, we're excited. He was a pastor down in Red Wing, Minnesota for 10 years, and he did a good work down there, and then he decided that he was interested in church planting, and I got to know him a little bit, and he was wondering where to go, and I said, I've always wanted Cedarbrook to be able to start a church in Eau Claire. I said, we just don't have the manpower. We don't have the ability. I said, if you can get the backing of other churches to come into Eau Claire, I think that'd be very exciting. So I'm pretty pumped. I'm his personal coach. So we sit down every week or two and talk strategy about what to do. And he and about a group of maybe 25 people are just in the formative stages right now.
Tell you what, we're going to take a short break and we'll get him on the line and talk a little bit more about what goes into planting a church and find out the status of Renew and when the doors will open. And more with Remy Diedrich, speaker at Leading with Power next Thursday. Subject called Five Things That Tick You Off. Guys, plan to be there.
Looks green, the sky looks bluer than I've ever seen, and you made my sweetest dream come true, and I want to live for you for the rest of my life, for the rest of my life. I want to give to you all the rest of my life, all the rest of my life.
Are you tired of the stock market roller coaster? Hi, this is Pat Couture with Keystone Financial. Tune in to It's Your Money, where we'll talk about investments, savings, and retirement income planning. And we promise to make the complex simple. Listen to It's Your Money with me, Pat Couture, Wednesday evening at 7:30 and Saturday evenings at 5:30. Right here on WWIB and WWIB.com.
Ah, the aroma of sizzling salmon. This Saturday, head to Home Oasis Pools and Spas for fresh grilled salmon. Take $50 off any in-stock grill or get $75 free accessories with grill purchase. This Saturday, follow your nose to Home Oasis Pools and Spas on Prairie View Road in Chippewa Falls.
Take some time to slow down with the So Holiday event Saturday, November 15th at So Complete in Eau Claire. Enjoy a meal and friendly conversation while selling fun, creative projects like a holiday trivet, decorative placemats, or a wool felt stocking decoration. Hands-on instruction provided. Make sure you reserve your spot. Contact So Complete today.
Hey, I'm John Rivers, inviting you to join me this week for 20 The Countdown Magazine. We're going to hear the 20 biggest songs in the whole world of Christian music. Plus, the artist spotlight shines on United.
It's simply a song about complete trust in our Savior.
That and much more this week on 20 The Countdown Magazine.
Saturday afternoon at 105 right here on WWIB.
20 The Countdown Magazine.
Game over, couldn't carry the weight on my shoulders. At my end, in trouble, knocked down on the ground, seeing double. But then your love, love opened my eyes, lifted me up, up, now I'm alive. I raise my hands, hands to the sky, singing oh, 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 Lord, I'm a different man.
The Newsboys, the title song off their latest Restart. That is the perfect gift to offer from our nonprofit corporation. Carol Stewart outdoing herself again as we wind down 2014. Ask for Restart. The Newsboys, their latest for a suggested tax-deductible gift of $40 or more to WIB Incorporated between now and the end of November. And as you get that, you're going to get in a Newsboys mindset as they come for their reason, the Reason Christmas Tour, along with Mariah Peters and Nick Hall, to the State Theater in downtown Eau Claire, December 19th. Learn more about tickets. Get them. Let's pack it out. $15 general admission seats. Learn more online at WWIB.com. 18 past 10 o'clock, 37 degrees. Spending the hour with pastor, author, and blogger Remy Diedrich from Cedarbrook Church in Menominee, but also Jamie Staples joins the conversation as well. And Jamie, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, both of you on the line here. And so, Remy, you were telling us just a little bit before the break about that Cedar Brook. I remember back in the day as Valley Brook Church teamed up, part of helping you.
Right.
And maybe there were others involved, but I know Valley Brook was one in helping you launch into Menominee. And now, as you've been there and established yourself and gone from a theater to a shopping center to your own building and seen exciting developments and great impact, it became time, and Jamie's the guy, huh, to plant the church in Eau Claire.
Yeah, we're excited about Jamie. He came highly recommended from our denomination, and like I said, I happened to get to know him just a little bit beforehand. He sought me out. He said, I'm interested in church planning, and I'd like to know how, you know, Remy, you did that. Tell me a little bit about your background. How do I move from being an associate pastor to church planning? So I just told him my story, and I liked him a lot, and I hit it off with both he and my wife, and I enjoyed he and his wife, Emily. And so then he called me one day, and he says, you know, I'm wondering where to go. And that's when I recommended Eau Claire. And what we did, and Mark, you were part of this, the two of us came to Eau Claire and talked to a lot of people that we knew, or actually that I knew. I introduced Jamie to a lot of people that I knew in Eau Claire, and just trying to get the spiritual climate of Eau Claire to see if it was a good place for him to land and start this church.
Well, I was talking to you even as we got going. We did a number of conversations, and at a point we were talking to you almost monthly, and we'd work through some of your books in the past, The Healing the Hurts of Your Past, and talked about your book Stuck. And some of your blog entries. But, I mean, there was a point, I think, where you did throw it out to people and say, hey, would people be interested in terms of a church plant in Eau Claire? And you got some response on that. And lo and behold, it's come to this point. Jamie, good morning.
Yeah.
Your background is, you've been a youth pastor there in Red Wing or what?
Yeah, I've been a youth pastor in Red Wing for the last 10 and a half years.
Okay, and so how have you found that experience?
It was a great experience, being able to be in that church in Red Wing. It was a complete blessing to walk along the lives of students and see their lives transformed. And it was also a blessing to me because that's where I was able to kind of grow and mature in ministry.
And so talk to me, tell us just a little bit about yourself. We heard you're married, a couple of kids.
Yeah, I have a wife named Emily and three kids, Elsa, who is 5, Bram, that is 3, and Lindley, that's 9 months old.
And you're in your early 30s?
Yes, mid-30s,
all right,
actually.
Mid, all right, yeah. And so talk to me about the stirring that you, in terms of talking to Remy and being open before God in terms of, you know, taking that step from youth pastor to church planner.
Yeah, a huge step of faith. It started, actually, 2 years before I left Red Wing, and stirring is a very good word for it, and you kind of feel this sense that God has something for you, and he's leading you in a direction, and it took 2 years to kind of figure out that God was calling us to church planting. It was a pretty good wrestle in there. To plant a church, you got to be willing to give up everything and have complete faith, so that's the point that God brought us to, and I'm so thankful for the relationship that we developed with Remy and his guidance and leading. And I remember that conversation when I said, I'm not sure where this is supposed to be, and Remy said, well, what about Eau Claire? And I just felt a spark. And then as we moved forward and had conversations, doors continued to open.
Now, there's more than 65,000 people in Eau Claire. And Remy, you're obviously in Menominee, a college town as well, but much smaller size. What is it? Let me turn this to you, Remy, first, in terms of some people, a lot of times this is the reaction, there's different reactions, where some people go, gosh, we've got a lot of churches in Eau Claire already. Do we need another one? I mean, you're not hearing that for the first time.
Right. No, that's a typical response. You know, you go to the yellow pages and look up churches, and mm-hmm. There's probably hundreds in Eau Claire area. I mean, there's probably 30 in the Menominee area, and we certainly heard that. The thing that people, I think, quickly realize once it's explained to them is there may be maybe hundreds of churches, but most of those churches aren't attracting any new people. And what attracts people is something new. That's human nature. So you might have 10 restaurants in your town, and people would say, well, we've got 10 restaurants. Why do we need a new one? But if a new restaurant opens up, people will come. And it's not necessarily just the people that were going to those other 10 restaurants. The people that have been, who are tired of the 10 restaurants and say, I wish
no, I wish a Denny's would come to town or whatever it is. The people who have been looking for a Denny's will start to go to the Denny's if they come to town.
See, now, Remy said that because Menominee has a Denny's and Eau Claire doesn't, so that was kind of a smack to Eau Claire, but yeah.
Right. So my point is that it's not like you're just taking, you know, there's one pie and you keep drawing from that same people in that pie. That there's hundreds and hundreds of people out there who will go to church and try something new. Again, that's just human nature. We're prone to try something new.
Uh-huh.
And so
uh-huh.
You kind of have to keep offering something new to people to get those people on the sidelines into the church game, so to speak.
Yeah. Jamie, you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, and that was actually a huge question that we were wrestling with before we even considered church planning. But kind of the reasons that led us there was, first of all, it's in the scriptures, right? You're supposed to go out and make disciples, and you see that throughout the New Testament and Acts, plant churches. And then it was followed up by a call specifically to Emily and I to do that. But then also, you know, there's, even in Eau Claire, there's still 70 or 80% of the population that don't go to church on any given Sunday. And we're called to go out and reach people and be kind of the hands and feet of Jesus, so to speak. So that's our hope that, you know, Remy is saying we don't want to just focus on one pie. You know, God is a God that makes a lot of pies, and we want to go out and reach people that aren't currently going to church.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you guys, what do you think of this example, but one pastor referenced it to me. My wife and I had been at a church, and we'd left, and we didn't plant a church necessarily, but even as we did, he identified some ministry calling and abilities, and God's used that more through Teamwork Africa. But the idea of ice cream, and he said, you guys are a different flavor. And again, it's the same God, it's the same gospel, the same spirit, right, as Ephesians talks about. But, I mean, obviously you as a leader and you as a church planner and a leading pastor, Jamie, I mean, in that congregation, it's going to be a different fragrance than someplace else, even than Cedar Brook or other churches in Eau Claire, and maybe that's going to be something that's going to connect, and certainly in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, what about the name of the church is Renew, so that's a big deal. Talk about, how you met some folks and how you've even built this gathering of 20 to 25 already, and obviously beyond that, people wanting to know about a launch location and date.
Yeah, so a lot of our connections came through Remy and his relationships, and then folks that went to Cedar Brook that live in Eau Claire area. So we actually have 35 or so adults and children part of our group right now. We have a pretty large children's group, which is really exciting to me. But really that name, so that name came out of Acts 19, when Paul went into the city of Ephesus and met followers of Jesus, discipled them, and they grew in their faith, and then because of that, they changed the entire economic, religious culture of that city. And so that's kind of where that name is founded, in that we want to connect with people, we want to engage in deeper relationships, and we want to renew the communities that we're a part of.
Okay, well, that's an exciting name and a unique name. And so how about kind of an opening and a launch date and location?
Yeah, right now we are gathering people, meeting on a weekly basis, and working really hard to develop this church. And our aim for a launch date is probably late November, late February. And right now we are meeting on a weekly basis. Our first preview service will be in January, and that's when we'll start advertising and kind of letting the word out. People right now, if they're interested in being part of this developing phase, can contact us. We have a website, iamrenew.org, and they can go there and fill out the contact information, and I can meet with them and give them more information about where we're at and what we're doing here.
All right, iamrenew.org. Now, you mentioned the Covenant denomination. Remy, you said that's what Cedar Brook is, and that's what this church plant. And Jamie, you've been involved with the Covenant Church even when you were in Red Wing. Is that right?
Yeah, and even I went to the college that's affiliated with the Covenant denomination,
which is in the Twin Cities, and that's called.
That's actually in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
That's North Park University.
North Park. All right.
That's where I became a Christian.
I'm sorry, I was getting that confused with a different denomination. Okay, North Park. Oh, that's cool. All right. And so, is Scott McKnight, is he at North Park, or is that a different school?
He was at North Park for a long time, but he's at Northern Seminary now.
All right. Did you ever have him for a class?
Yes.
Now, excellent. He's really good, isn't he?
Yeah, awesome.
Top shelf. All right, and so just I mentioned, because I think it's been a number of years since there's been a Covenant denomination church in Eau Claire, years and years ago, but people may be familiar with that. And so you're coming back to the Chippewa Valley. Is there anything, maybe Remy, just briefly tell us about that denomination or how you found that to be a good fit for Cedarbrook and what people can look forward to in Eau Claire?
Yeah, you know, we didn't get started with the Covenant, and we were a part of a Baptist denomination. And one thing we looked at, we enjoyed the denomination. One thing that was important to us is we try to be to focus on the major on the majors and minor on the minors. And one thing we really liked about the Covenant is that they're very inclusive. Very inclusive of both men and women in ministry, and that's always been a strong emphasis of ours at Cedarbrook. We don't want to limit anyone on their gender. We believe that God moves by His Spirit in both men and women, so the Covenant values that. And also the baptism issue, being a part of a Baptist denomination, we felt it was more restrictive. And this is the land of Lutherans and Catholics, and they and many other denominations baptize infants, and the Covenant honors both adult baptism as well as infant baptism. So it was something that was, for us, it was more inclusive. So we felt it was a good fit for who we already were. Mm-hmm. So when I found the Covenant, it was like, oh, we're kind of home right now. This is a really good fit for us.
Yeah, excellent. All right, again, check the, if people want to get involved even now as you're kind of meeting weekly, Jamie, are you meeting, can you tell us, are you meeting on the weekends or when are you meeting?
Yeah, we're meeting on Sunday mornings, and right now we're meeting in two locations. Every other week we're meeting at B-Side. They're letting us use their space Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And then the weeks that we don't meet there, we're meeting at Mill Ridge Community Building in the Mill Ridge townhouses there. And that information is on the website.
All right. So, again, if people are interested in getting involved even now, it's iamrenewed.org. That's iamrenewed.org. So check that out, and probably some contact information, how to get a hold of you, Jamie Staples, the church planter and lead pastor. So we wish you the best, and thanks for kind of informing the WIB listeners about it today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, good. We're going to continue our conversation. We'll let Jamie go, but we got more to talk to Remy Diedrich about, lots more to talk about. Why don't we get to what he's got coming up for Leading with Power next week, which is next Thursday. He's going to be at the Eagles Club in Lake Halley. Five things that tick you off, helping guys understand what he calls secondary losses. More on that coming up.
Good intentions don't always turn them into action. I speak love, it's easy enough, but words are not what love is made of.
For one day only, this Thursday, it's Gumball Madness at Amundsen's Appliance in Eau Claire. Save over $1,300 on some items, plus get additional savings off marked prices with Gumball Madness dollars, or have a chance to win a $10,000 shopping spree. Get a Whirlpool stainless steel kitchen package with French door refrigerator, self-cleaning range, over-the-counter microwave, and dishwasher, all for only $19.99. Beat the rush, shop the biggest sale of the year, Gumball Madness, this Thursday. Doors open at 8 a.m. only at Amundsen's Appliance, Eau Claire.
If you're a business owner, you know business name recognition is vital. Expand your name recognition with vehicle graphics from Image 360. Turn your vehicle into a rolling billboard in a very cost-effective way. Find out more. Call Image 360 in Altoona today.
Stay tuned for a small business moment sponsored by Citizens State Bank of Cadott and Chippewa Falls, where you as a small business owner and manager can learn vital tips to help keep your business running smoothly.
Let your fire burn and fetch
The Newsboys, one of many great tunes off their latest restart, that's Go Glow on WWIB and WIB.com. Ask for the Newsboys' brand new release, their 17th CD. Ask for Restart. It's more of a, this one, the songs in this one aren't their conventional pop rock sound. Instead, music infused with electronic elements. So that's the way they're billing this. Ask for the Newsboys' Restart. With your suggested tax-deductible gift of $40 or more to WWIB Incorporated during November, learn more online at WWIB.com. You can also find about the Reason Christmas Tour, bringing the Newsboys, Mariah Peters, and Nick Hall as well on December 19th, less than a week before Christmas, to the State Theater in Eau Claire. And don't forget, that's where the Robin Hood, The Rescue of Maid Marian, going to be performed this weekend as well, Friday and Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 3. That musical comedy, everybody's invited to that, okay? All right, Pastor Remy Diedrich with us the full hour here on Front Page on WWIB and WIB.com. He's the speaker next Thursday, 1 week from today, at Leading with Power. And, of course, as we always tell you, you can RSVP leadingwithpower.org and just let them know you're coming so they can plan the lunch. And as you've heard us say before, it's lunch is free to newcomers or those who bring a newcomer. But then they say $7, the suggested donation for the lunch, if neither of those initial descriptions fit you. And Remy's the keynote speaker. And so what's the title of your talk?
Five Things That Tick You Off.
Five Things That Tick You Off. Tell us more.
Well, yeah, this is a talk that I've given actually at businesses talking about workplace anger. I talk about it in my book, Stuck. Thinking Stuck, I talk about seven things, but I've reduced it a little bit. It's just the idea that we're not always in touch with what makes us angry. We just, you know, we think that we're the calmest person in the world until something happens and triggers us, and boom, we're right into it. And then it's usually the other person's fault, and so it's all about them, and of course, we're the innocent party in it. So what I'm trying to do in this talk is get people to realize that there are certain triggers that you need to be aware of that are going to get you mad every time. And they're just out there, wait, like landmines are waiting for you. And if you can know about those in advance, you can prepare yourself, not only emotionally, but even spiritually, to walk into those different settings.
Well, obviously, we're not going to give them I don't know how much we give them away. We want the guys to come and hear about these.
No, they got to hear the five things. They got to come.
That's right. That's right.
So one of the things, you know, you already mentioned the secondary losses. I can just explain that briefly to you. For example, I always just use car keys because everyone can relate to car keys. We lose our car keys, and, you know, one time I was running around the house like a maniac looking for my car keys and being mad at myself and for the whole experience one more time. And I, you know, being a reflective person that I am, once I found them and got on my way, I thought, Remy, why are you so bent out of shape? They're car keys. I mean, and you know, you knew that they were in the house someplace. Why did you get so mad? And as I thought through it, I thought, you know, it's not the car keys that made me mad. That was what I would call the primary loss. It's all the things that happen as a result of that primary loss. And just grouping it into one word, it's control. In those moments that my car keys were lost, I lost control of my life. I lost control of my schedule. I lost control of my reputation. You know, if I'm late someplace where I needed to be, people aren't going to look at me the same way. And so there's a number of underlying, and that's what I call secondary losses, that actually are the thing that's getting us mad. It's not the car keys. It's those other losses that are taking place.
Yeah, and I think one of the other working titles that maybe Leading with Power, and we'd been promoting you talking next Thursday at the Eagles Club in Lake Halley, was the idea of getting a hold of your anger before it gets a hold of you. That I'm sensing with this idea that there's stuff going on inside of us that maybe we're not all as reflective as you're describing yourself to be. And so if we don't, you know, it's kind of there, and we need to kind of delve a little bit, right?
Yeah. It takes some thought. And I've never had someone not walk away going, wow, I've got to take a second look on this. I've never thought about it like that before. And maybe it's not so much about my boss or my kids or my spouse that is the problem. Maybe it's more me than I want to admit to. I think typically when we get in an angry state, we just want to fix whatever is irritating us. And we tend to
yell a little louder and a little longer, thinking that's going to fix it. If I can just get Mark to do what I want him to do and quit being such an idiot, I will be happy.
Uh-huh.
And we have to go, you know, maybe it's not Mark. Maybe, you know, maybe Mark has done a few things wrong, but maybe, Remy, it's the way you're responding to the situation that is the real problem.
Uh-huh.
So I've, you know, my conclusion in this is that 80% of our anger has to do with just us and our lack of, you know, our sense of losing control, maybe losing some respect in the situation. And 20% is only, you know, Mark or whoever it is that we're mad at in the moment.
Yeah, for sure. Calls to mind that favorite G.K. Chesterton response to the newspaper that, what's the biggest problem in the world? And his short answer was, I am. I mean, we got to deal with us. And
exactly.
We got dirt on our own shoes that needs cleaning. So, all right, Looking forward to that. Again, five things that tick you off, guys. That's next. Find out what they are and how to deal with them. The Remy Diedrich, he's the speaker at Leading with Power, 1 week from today. So I'm looking at the website right now, leadingwithpower.org, leadingwithpower.org. Just go there, RSVP, let them know real quick that, hey, you're going to be there. And they can kind of, and then also you're eligible for whatever the prize drawing, and there's usually a prize drawing going on as well. All right. Beyond that, Remy, in the next segment, we're going to talk about your latest book. But just to kind of backtrack a little bit, because I understand your initial book, Healing the Hurts of Your Past, you're actually updating and going to soon be re-releasing. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Just going through it, because it was my first book, it was kind of a never really written a book before, so we released it fairly quickly. And as I go back over it, I go, oh, you know, all those regrets. Oh, I wish I would have done all the things that I know now about writing a book. So that's what I'm doing now. We're just revising it.
All right. And then also, of course, your second book, which was called Stuck. We've talked with you about that in the past, how to overcome your anger and reclaim your life. And it sounds like some of the message maybe for next Thursday may be born out of that a little bit, right?
That's right. That's taken right from that book, Stuck.
And if people want to access those books, how can they order them?
They're both on Amazon.com. Simple way, if you just go in, my name is so unique, Remy, R-E-M-Y. I think if you just put in my name with either Healing or, you know, Remy Healing or Remy Stuck, that will pull up both my books.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so do you kind of see an order or kind of a progression as God's led you in terms of these books, Healing the Hurts of Your Past, initially from Stuck, and now your latest book, I guess, in a little different direction in terms of the focus towards pastors, but Out of Exile, a 40-day journey to make a comeback from a setback?
Yeah. Well, there's a progression in there. I mean, what I write about and talk about so much, and the fact that I'm an author, all that stuff is just a huge surprise to me. I never saw this coming, but it all came out of my work at Arbor Place and trying to help people who are really facing some pretty serious stuff. And then I realized that, well, it's not just addicts who face these emotions like shame and anger. Everyone faces shame and anger. So then I started talking about it outside of the addiction circles and found a lot of interest there. But this new book, Out of Exile, what I've done is taken the section out of Stuck where I talked about grief and loss, and I've expanded it to help specifically pastors, in this case, pastors that go through some kind of a ministry setback, maybe because they did something stupid or maybe something was done to them, like a church kicked them out, you know, for the wrong reasons. And they feel they're just totally off track, and they don't know what to do with their life. They don't know where to go. They feel abandoned, maybe abandoned by God, and they're looking. That's their loss. They need to learn how to grieve it, move through that time, and then get back on track.
We're going to take a short break and come back and talk with you. But if people also check your blog, readingremy.com, I think you've posted some of the material from Out of Exile. And in fact, I'm looking at a recent entry called The Toxic World of the Insecure Pastor. Is that something that's a part of Out of Exile?
Actually, it's not. It's just something that I thought about and threw it down there yesterday.
All right. Well, that's interesting. You and I have known each other for a while and have had a great identification in terms of shame and the significance of grace. But even as I looked at that particular post, I'm like, good night. Remy's reading my mail again. So anyhow, more with Remy, his latest book, Out of Exile, and more from his blog, readingremy.com. WWIB.
7 billion people on a spinning ball, and they all mean the world to you.
It's times like these that I feel so small. There must be something I can do. I played it safe in shallow water. Never had the faith to cross the border. God, I've gotten good at being comfortable. It's time to leave my comfort zone. 'Cause you said go.
If you have Medicare Part D, you could be at the corner of, I'm throwing away money, and I had no idea. Well, Walgreens has your back. Our expert pharmacists make it easy for you to save even more on Medicare Part D prescriptions with copays as low as $0. So swing by Walgreens and talk to our pharmacist to get the most out of Medicare and your money. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics for select plans.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our 4-day super sale, November 7th through the 10th. With 40% off our great paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Here at Marquardt Motors, we've had a huge summer, which means a lot of trade-ins. Now more than ever before, we have an unbelievable selection of low-mileage trades and certified pre-owned Chevy, Buick, and GMCs. Plus, every certified pre-owned vehicle includes 2 years or 24,000 miles of scheduled maintenance. Browse Marquardt Motors' entire inventory on our website, where you'll find over 20 photos and a detailed description of each vehicle. Find your next vehicle at marquardtmotors.com.
Shop Menards' Big Sale for everything you need to get ready for winter. Get peak performance from your vehicle with Peak Long Life Antifreeze. It features a long life coolant technology that works great in all cars and light duty trucks, regardless of make, year, or model. Peak Long Life Antifreeze and Coolant is on sale now for just $7.99 after rebate. Stop into Menards for this and many more hot deals to get your home and car ready for winter.
Save big money at Menards.
How long have you been around as a Christian artist group if your latest CD is number 17? The Newsboys aren't new to you, but their new CD has a new sound. Instead of the classic pop rock sound, their music is infused with electronic elements. The message is the same, mirroring the theme that God, the Creator, wants to reshape your life and your future. During the We Are Family November, suggested gift of $40 or more to the ministry. Ask for Restart by the Newsboys. Write, go online, WWIB.com, call or stop by.
And we've been using Newsboys bumper music for the bulk of the show here on WWIB. Here's another tune off Restart, one word.
When you breathe a spark of light into the void, the shadows ran away from your voice. In the darkness now I'm falling to my knees. Will you speak that same voice to me? From emptiness you speak life, defeating fear every time. I hear your voice, it whispers my name.
The Newsboys. That's one word, one of a number of great tunes on their new one, Restart. Ask for it this month from WWIB Incorporated with that suggested tax-deductible gift of $40 or more to WIB Incorporated, helping keep Front Page and 17 other programs, short features and long-form shows here on WWIB and WIB.com. Our final segment, spending the hour with Pastor Remy Dietrich from Cedarbrook Church in Menominee, and his third book, Out of Exile, A 40-Day Journey from Setback to Comeback, is out now, is that right?
It's going to be released November 18th. It's on Amazon, but it's not. You can't buy it yet.
All right, but we've got a free offer this hour that you're going to give anybody a free Kindle or PDF copy if they agree to review it on Amazon.com.
Well, actually, you didn't get my latest
email.
Okay,
I'm sorry. I didn't update that. I screwed it. Okay, you gave away the free copies already. All right, sorry.
We had such a big response to that, we had to cut it off. So
all right.
Sorry about
all right.
That.
Well, nonetheless, they can look for it anyhow. Now, this is specifically targeting pastors. Tell us about it.
It is. Well, it came out of a retreat that I did a couple years ago. I guess it was just last year, a pastor's retreat. And I just talked, I got this idea in my head that, you know, I just know so many pastors that have been blown out of the water for one reason or another, like I said before the break, either because of stupid things they've done or stupid things their church has done, or maybe just some life crisis. You know, maybe they ended up in a divorce, or maybe there was a health issue. But one way or the other, they ended up out of ministry. And so many pastors are just licking their wounds. I don't think people, in congregations out there, people don't realize the stress that pastors are under, and they don't understand the loneliness that so many pastors feel. And so I wanted to speak to that at this retreat, and I did. And I shared some of the things out of my stuck book, but I expanded it and applied it specifically to pastors. And they were so thankful for the things I was sharing with them, because they said, wow, you're talking my language. You're kind of like you said before the break, you know, you're reading my mail. No one has talked to me about this sense of exile before. And so I guess labeling it helped, being able to say that they were in an exile, and exile is in the Bible all over the place, and God speaks to people who are in exile. It just gave these pastors a different perspective on the loss that they had gone through, and a kind of a path to come out of the exile that they're currently in.
I guess the little bit, I haven't been a pastor, but the little bit as I've talked with pastors about, and I don't know if this is specific, I haven't read the book yet, you're out of exile, but some of the hurts and the wounds and the scars, as they're trying to shepherd and lead and, you know, burying themselves in a public life, I mean, the idea of not only the criticisms, but a lot of the hurts over when people go. And sometimes, you know, people may have been there for years, and then sometimes they maybe don't say anything. Other times, you know, it's a letter. I mean, I guess there may be pains beyond that, and there probably are, and hurts, but it seems like that's a big pain. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, God said to Jeremiah that he needed to have a forehead of flint, and I think that's really true. When you go into ministry, you have to consider the cost of, you know, you have to be willing to be able to let stuff roll off your back. Otherwise, it's going to take you down pretty fast. You're setting yourself up as a leader, and, you know, just like any leader, I mean, just like, especially today in our culture with the internet, everyone who puts themselves out there at all, whether it's through a blog or if you're an entertainer, anytime you set yourself up, you're going to get attacked pretty viciously. And so pastors have to deal with that. And everyone, especially, you know, we wonder why Christians are often so harsh, but Christians are people that are very passionate about their beliefs. And people who are passionate about their beliefs are often very critical of people that think differently. Mm-hmm. And so if the pastor doesn't think the way that people think they should think, they're an easy target. So, and then, yeah, when people just walk out the door and especially don't even communicate why, it can mess with your mind.
Mm-hmm. And then you take them on a journey. So you gave this at a retreat for pastors, and it's developed into a 40-day journey from setback to comeback. So explain the journey you take pastors on in Out of Exile.
Yeah, well, the first part of the journey is just to explore what exile is, and just understanding what it means to be in exile, to be cut off, to feel adrift, and explore the many emotions that we have in that place of loss and grief. One of the things I explained to the pastors is that the minute they signed on to become a pastor, they signed on to a life of loss. There are so many losses that are built into the life of ministry, things that you don't even consider. But I think the hard thing for pastors is they love Jesus and they love people, and they can't think, you know, thinking of Jamie Staples right now starting a church. I mean, he's all excited because he loves Jesus and he loves people, and he starting a church is the most exciting thing in the world to him, and it is. But Jamie has bought into a life of loss because there are things that he can no longer do because he's a pastor. There are situations that he'll be in that are going to be harder than he ever imagined. And so I talk a lot to the pastors about understanding the losses and appreciating the losses. I think sometimes as Christians, we gloss over our losses with little trite sayings, a little Christian sayings, or a little, we quote Bible verses and minimize the losses that we've incurred. Like, well, we're just going to trust the Lord, or, well, you know, the Lord's going to take care of that. Well, those things are true, but that doesn't mean they're any less a loss. And so people have to identify the loss and say, hey, that's a loss, and that hurt a lot. And I need to attend to this loss. I can't just buck up and move on with my life because it's going to hurt me in the long run.
So can we probe a little bit with, I mean, you wrote the book, so obviously you haven't just seen this in other pastors. I mean, how have, to what degree you're willing to share, I mean, how have you endured that? And it seems like you're healthy, but I mean, how have you navigated the journey?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of the loss that I write out of, you know, my heart, you know, where it comes from my heart is the loss that led up to ministry, because I had been in ministry in my 20s and early 30s, and I really became disillusioned with the church, and I basically gave up on church. I quit church, and that's what brought me to Wisconsin. I moved to Wisconsin with two other families to buy a farm and live in Christian community, and the three couples pretty much decided that church was broken. We didn't understand it. I'm talking about the organized church. And so our church was just going to be the fellowship that we had amongst ourselves and anyone that wanted to join us in, like, a Bible study and stuff like that. And so that's a lot of my exile, was just leaving the church. And then living in that community was an exile for, I talk about it in I think probably all my books. It was a very lonely time in community. It wasn't the big panacea that I thought it was going to be. And then when I came back into the church, the organized church, I was able to bring some of those lessons that I learned in my time of exile into my church and ministry experience. So for me, I think by the time I got into full-time ministry, and especially when I started Cedarbrook, the exiles more or less had been behind me. But there's always little exiles along the way, you know, little losses along the way that everyone has to deal with too.
Talking to Remy Diedrich, last couple minutes here, spending the hour with us on Front Page, leading with Power Speaker next Thursday at the Eagles Club in Lake Halley, where you can RSVP leadingwithpower.org, that you'll be there to hear his talk, Five Things That Tick You Off. Of course, the lunch is free to newcomers and those bringing newcomers, but then $7 suggested price for those others folks. But your newest book, Out of Exile, and is this sort of suggested use like a... I guess for pastors and others who've been ministry leaders, it seems to me, I was just going through kind of a PDF copy of the book, and is this just intended like a devotional, but it seems like a usual 40-day devotional or what?
Yeah, I set it up as a devotional, so each chapter is, you know, 40 chapters, that's a lot, but they're all just a few pages. And because I'm talking about deep stuff, I didn't want to just toss out another book with long chapters that people would read and then...
Yeah.
Treat it like information. I wanted them to process it. So there's only a few pages per chapter, and then there's questions along the way to get people to process it. Yeah. Because I think processing it is what's going to make it powerful.
And so just like with anything, I mean, if you can possibly do it in a community, but I think the idea, as I'm just kind of giving you a cursory overview, I mean, sometimes some devotionals just go, you get a quick thought, and you know, there's a scripture verse and a story, and you're on your way. But because this does go deeper in terms of your heart, mind, soul, I mean, it's kind of something where to be able to read it, and then maybe you usually have some questions there and might be helped to kind of work through it with somebody, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think for couples, pastors and their spouse, I think it would be especially helpful to talk about it. What happens with pastor couples is they're both trying to work hard, and they're both trying to serve Jesus and do the best job, so they don't always talk about it. They just kind of suck it up and say, well, you know, we love Jesus, so we're not, you know, we're going to take on this loss and not talk about it. But I think when couples start talking about these things, there can be a real breakthrough.
Yeah, for sure. And then lastly, I guess my final question on this, Remy, is the idea that for pastors and these wounds, and I guess you talked about it even with your own journey, but the intention is I want to help people, right? That they like people, they love God, and they feel like I'm called to this, and then it seems like there are some hurtful surprises along the way that you go, wow, I didn't know it was going to hurt like this.
Yeah, and just in the our culture today, pastoring isn't what it was 50 years ago. Today, you have to be have a business mind. You have to know how to run an organization. You just can't show up and talk about Jesus and love on people. I wish it was that easy, but the bigger your church, the more you're expected to be a sharp business leader. So that there's a lot of expectations on a pastor.
All right, and so Out of Exile, like your other two books, Healing the Hurts of Your Past and Stuck, where can people find it?
Amazon.com is the best place to get it. Easy. It's going to be available on Kindle as well as paperback. And if you're in the area near our church, I have the earlier books on our bookshelf at church. One thing I just want to mention about Out of Exile, even if you're not a pastor, all my references are to pastors, but you know, we all share the same things in common. So if you'd like to explore that idea of being in exile and overcoming your grief and loss, it would still be helpful.
Terrific. Remy, thanks a lot for spending the hour. Look forward to seeing you at Leading with Power next Thursday.
Sounds good, Mark. Thanks a lot.
All right. Remy Diedrich, again, this latest book is Out of Exile. You can learn more on his blog at readingremy.com. That's all one word, readingremy.com. And see some of his recent entries there and learn more about the book. Again, amazon.com. If you do Remy and Out of Exile, you'll find it there. And again, wish him the very best with that. It sounds like it's going to really fit a real niche there, I think. All right. And again, guys, don't forget to go to leadingwithpower.org. RSVP the fact that you're going to be there next Thursday. Let's pack it out to hear what Remy's got to say. Barb and Bloomer said, hey, Mark, will somebody record that? We will aim to record Remy's talk and bring you ladies who aren't at Leading with Power what he has to say about five things that tick us off.